Hello everybody, I'm Chris, and this is episode 3 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. Once again, from an undisclosed outdoor location. At this point, I don't even know where I am. Somewhere outside. But it's not raining. It's hot, it's muggy here in July in Virginia. It's brutally hot and muggy. Probably will rain any moment, but I'm going to give this a shot. And in this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of my origin story. You know, what woke me up about the, and I use the term the ruling class. I use that term all the time because I think it's applicable. You know, at what point did I realize that the people in charge are stupid? Really, that's what it was all about. And at what point, basically, I was a standard Republican. And by that, I mean, I really didn't know much, which I think is the same as a standard Democrat. You know, America was designed as a place where politics was never supposed to be that important to America, to Americans, to the average American, because the government was supposed to be very small and have very little power. So it really shouldn't matter who the president is. It shouldn't matter who your congressman is, who your senator is. It really shouldn't matter because they really shouldn't have much power. But we've gotten to the point where the president and the senators and the congressmen, they have total control over your life. They can change your life like that. They can literally, you know, President Joe Biden can literally speak a sentence and change your life like that. That's all he has to do. A good example is the mandate to wear masks on planes. You know, while Trump was president, that was up to the airlines and it was up to the states. But Joe Biden became president and he spoke a sentence. He just said, everybody has to wear masks on planes. And now everybody has to wear masks on planes. It's kind of crazy how one man, and what's crazy is that half of America thinks that's great. Half of America thinks, that's great, I think the president should have that much power. It's really unbelievable to me. I'm getting off topic here because what I want to talk about is the financial crisis of 2008 and how that is the event that sort of made me realize that these people in charge don't know what they're doing. They're complete morons. And, the political ruling class, they don't know what they're doing, or they know what they're doing, but what they're doing is getting rich and living off of us. They're parasites. You know, they're just parasites. They're just living, they're getting paid very well. They're living it up. They're riding around in limousines. They're having important meetings in their important buildings and in their important conference rooms and they're padding their benefits, and they've got great health care and great retirement, and the rest of us are paying the bills, and the rest of us have to suffer the consequences of these morons. And the 2008 financial crisis really woke me up because, and I include, let me just add, I include the media in that political ruling class. Because during the financial crisis of 2008, we were all told that, remember, there was a housing bubble, and then the banks started to fail, and the banks had to be bailed out. And we were all told it was because of capitalism. Capitalism run amok. Unregulated capitalism. The banks were unregulated. The banks unfettered, unregulated, run wild. It was the Wild West. and we needed government to step in and save everybody. And as you know, as I heard all that, it just never made any sense to me. It never made sense because I'm not a complete dumbass. I know what capitalism is. Capitalism is when you are trying to make a profit, right? You're trying to earn money. You're trying to make a profit. And I never quite understood how can you make a profit giving loans to people who would never pay those loans back? How could you make a profit at that? How is that profitable? And, you know, banking, I understood what banking is, how the banking industry works. It's really very simple, right? Particularly with home mortgages, right? You've got, the bank gives you a loan for $300,000 and you go buy a house. And over 30 years, you pay that loan back and you're going to pay $400,000 when you pay it back, let's say, depending on the interest rate. And so the bank is going to make $100,000 of profit off of you, and it's going to take 30 years. And it's a very slow, boring, but very stable industry. That's the way banking should be. It should be very slow and very boring, but very stable. So how did these banks just make loans to people who would never pay them back and expect to make that profit? And that's when the government comes in. That's when I realized there's got to be something else going on here. And that's when I, you know, the more I dug and dug, and I had a friend, luckily, I had a friend who was sort of a libertarian, who sort of understood some of this stuff and was what was going on. And he pointed me in some directions for some books to read and some podcasts to listen to. And I started, because I read all the normal book. I really tried to figure it out. I tried to figure out what's going on here. What really happened? Why was there a housing bubble? Why was there a banking crisis? And I read books. I read books by, you know, Paul Krugman and Schiller and these different standard economists, you know, the regular economists. I read books about Ben Bernanke. I read Maestro about Alan Greenspan. I tried to figure this out, and none of these books made any sense to me. But I finally found some books, and I found some people who made it make sense. And it was, I learned, the more I dug, the more I realized it was all a crisis created by government. 100% created by government, tinkering and meddling in the economy. The government wanted to encourage home ownership. The government wanted to encourage banks to give loans to people who would normally not get loans because they didn't have jobs, they didn't have assets. You might remember ninja loans, ninja, no job, no income, no income, no jobs, no assets. And they lowered the percentages that were required. Before, you had to put down 20% to buy a house, but then they lowered that to practically nothing. You didn't have to put anything down. No down payment loans, which, typically if you require someone to put down 20% for a house, then even if the bank has to foreclose on the house, even if you can't make that payment, the bank will take ownership of the house and be able to sell it. And so the bank will never really lose money unless the value of the house drops more than 20%, right? So it's a very secure industry. At least it was before the government got involved and tried to use it to further this social justice agenda of trying to get more people to have houses. And And you know, so basically the government came along and started, and this is what those government-sponsored entities, GSEs, Fannie Freddie, FHA, they were trying to, they bought up loans. So basically what happened was the bank, remember, it was the bank would give you $300,000 to buy a house. And then over the course of 30 years, you would pay that loan back $400,000, and they would make a $100,000 profit over the course of 30 years. Well, here comes the government. The bank gives you a loan for $300,000. Now, and then along comes the government and buys that loan away from the bank. So now for $330,000. So the bank only makes $30,000 profit, but it only takes a month. So the bank makes 30 grand in profit over a month, and now the bank has 330 grand that they can turn that around and they can loan it out to somebody else. And then the government comes along and buys that loan. So the government accumulates these loans. So now when you pay your mortgage, you're actually paying the government. You may still be paying the bank, but the bank just forwards the check to the government because the bank has already been paid for your loan. You know, that's how this whole thing worked. And what that did was that drove up the price. It drove up demand for houses, and it drove up the price of houses because as demand was going up, 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 the prices were going up, up, up. People started to flip houses, right? People started to buy a house, and then they would sell it a year later for a huge profit. And so the value of houses just went crazy. But as all bubbles, as what happens with all bubbles, it eventually crashed. It burst. And once it did, all the banks went bankrupt, essentially. And another thing that the banks started to do was with the collateralized debt obligations, you know, the derivatives. They started bundling mortgages because the mortgages were, the values of these things were going up. The houses were going up. So they were, and you know, and you can go back to 99 with the Graham-Leach-Bliley, which was the repeal of Glass-Steagall. And a lot of people said that, well, the repeal of Glass-Steagall, because Glass-Steagall separated the deposit banks, like regular banks, from the investment banks. So before under the Glass-Steagall regulatory regime, investment banks were out on their own. They were in the wilderness. If they lost money, that was it. It was gone. The government, the taxpayer, was not on the hook for any of that money. It was lost, gone, forever. And so the investment banks were very careful. They were very careful. They were very conservative. But the Graham-Leach-Bliley bill was basically brought the investment banks in under the wing of the government regulators, government regulations, so that the investment banks were now a part of, they were now essentially covered by the taxpayer. And so it was, this whole mess was created by government. And this was a bipartisan problem. This was a Democrat and Republican problem. And as I, you know, that's really when I realized that these people in charge, they don't know what they're doing. These people are morons, and it's both parties. And, you know, I lost my faith in the political ruling class. I lost my faith in these people. Before, I believed that they were the best and the brightest, and they knew what they were doing. And I feel like, you know, I was a child, and I was. Mentally, I was a child. I feel so many people, particularly the Democrats now in 2021, the Democrats are the children, because the Democrats really believe that, you know, the average Democrat voter really believes that these politicians know what they're doing, that these politicians are smart, that they're wise, that they're in charge of everything. They can, they've got it all figured out. And no, they don't. And you know, and I think that there's two kinds of politicians. There are the politicians who are just absolute, complete, utter morons, who have no idea what they're doing. But then you also have the politicians who know exactly what they're doing. They're smart. They are evil and corrupt, and they enjoy their position like I've said, at the top of society. That's where they are. They're above you. Politicians, they are above you. They are better than you. That's what they think, and that's what they are. Let's face it, they are. They can do whatever they want, and you can't. You can't. You know, during COVID, you had to follow their orders. They could do whatever they want. They could fly to Florida and have a vacation like the governor of Michigan did, while ordering everybody else to stay home. You know, these people, they don't care. They don't care about you. They could do whatever they want. And you know, so this is 2008 is what really woke me up. I really started to realize, wow, I have been a fool. And so, and that's when I got into reading and really trying to study all of this and figure out how all of this works. And I think that the libertarian philosophical sort of school of thought is correct. And I think that my criticism of Republicans, the Republican Party, has always been that generally, especially now, I think they're generally right. You know, there are a lot of Republicans who were like George W. Bush, who was basically a part of this whole disaster, the financial crisis. He was a part of that. He believed in all that stuff, all that tinkering and meddling with the economy and using the banks to achieve a certain goal. He believed in that. He was a part of it. He thought, this is his compassionate conservatism philosophy. And a lot of these Republicans were a part of that. And, you know, the Republican establishment was a part of all that. And I think that, when I say I was a Republican, I generally just sort of believed what they told me. And I believed that as long as our people are in charge, everything will be great. But then I realized that our people were in charge, and it was a collapse. And so I think that, my criticism of the Republicans has always been that they are generally right, not always, but usually right, but they don't really understand why they're right. And they don't really, and especially now, under President Trump, I generally agreed with Trump on most things. I think he was wrong on some things. And I think his instincts were right, that government is bad, government is stupid, government, these people in government, they're not here to serve your best interests. They're there to serve themselves. He was generally right, but he couldn't really articulate he couldn't make good articulate arguments about why is government a bad an inefficient way to solve problems? Why? What is different about government? The incentives, what is central planning? How does it work? Why is it bad? And I think that once you get into the libertarian philosophy, all of those questions start to get answered. And so that's why I call this the Libertarian Republican Podcast, because I think that Republicans need to hear these arguments, these libertarian philosophical arguments, and the things like the Austrian School of Economics, these economic arguments. And I think, you know, I've found that Republicans are very open to these ideas and they totally agree with them. Most of them, they completely agree with. They've just never heard them. So that's what I hope to do with this podcast. I hope to give Republicans these arguments and help Republicans win arguments, help Republicans to understand the nuts and bolts of why government is bad and wrong and in a lot of ways. Sure, we need government for some things. Government is a good way to solve some problems, but it's a terrible way to solve most problems. And I think that you need to really understand some of the libertarian scholarship, the intellectual scholarship, to really get it. Right. That's my. So that's what I hope to do with this podcast. In the next one, I think I'm going to go over some books that I read. The books that I read that woke me up. If it doesn't rain. So, thanks for listening and watching or watching. You can watch this on Rumble, or you can listen to the audio version on the stuff that audio versions are available on. This podcast is hosted on Podbean. So, that was episode number 3. I hope you liked it, and I will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.